from Luke chapter number 17. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees, that's Jesus, when the kingdom of God would come, because if you remember perspective-wise, religious leaders, even his own disciples, were anticipating that Messiah, now revealed, would soon take the throne of David and rule and reign, that he would literally, physically set up his kingdom right then and there. They were tired of being oppressed by the Roman government. They wanted a liberator. They wanted what early Israel had in a Moses to come and set them free. And they thought, this is our moment. He's going to take care of business for us when the kingdom of God would come. And he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. In other words, this is not the moment you're going to see it manifested, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. That was a shock to everybody who heard him make that statement, because this is the beginning, right? This is how he begins to unfold this truth. So, Father, we bless you. We honor you. Your kingdom is within us. And may those who are looking for your kingdom see it in our lives already manifesting. In Jesus' name, let the church say, amen. You may be seated. Say, it's good for us to be here tonight. There you go. You got a little energy tonight. I'm glad. You got past your nap, and now we're energized. We've had some great worship, and we're ready to go. Jesus' kingdom is a way of thinking. It is a way of living. It is a way of operating. The lordship of Jesus Christ has its source within us. It is not external at this time. What I mean by that is, he hasn't physically returned to set up his earthly kingdom, okay? So the kingdom is a way of thinking, it's a way of living, it's a way of operating. So look at what John records. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood. Now listen, this is the Feast of Tabernacles in Israel. They're having a celebration. It lasts the entire week. They're all excited about, you know, and they're rejoicing and they're cheering and they're celebrating. And the priest now is about to pour water on the sacrifice as prescribed in the scripture. And at the conclusion of all of this, the climax of the festival, Jesus stands up, gets to the highest place he can position himself, and he shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty, come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. This is an amazing statement Jesus is making about the will of the Lord and the Spirit of God and his kingdom. What God is doing in his church must come from within. Some people in church think that something comes on us. It comes from within. Springs of living water. If it's not in us, it won't come out of us. His kingdom manifests from within us. That's what Jesus taught in that particular scripture. And we cannot access Jesus' kingdom in our lives until we are born again. That's the prerequisite. And then we should be baptized as soon as possible. And then we recognize that we have the continual work of the Holy Spirit who has entered our lives when we're born again, who now wants to spring up within us as an artesian spring of living water. Jesus' kingdom principles are sourced within us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes up residency within us. We are governed by Jesus' kingdom from within. That's where the Holy Spirit rules and should reign in our hearts and lives. And why we need the Holy Spirit so desperately in the church, in the Western culture today, unlike we have seen in many, many decades, we need a renewal of the presence and the centrality of the person of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives and in the church collectively. The Holy Spirit is not someone we pick up on the side of the road and then abandon when we want to go do whatever we choose to do. He abides, he resides within, and he wants to govern within. Jesus is explaining to the religious people of his day, you're looking out here for the kingdom to come. You're looking for it to manifest physically right now. You're looking for a manifestation and an overthrow of a corrupt government. Not as yet. The kingdom is not out here. It's not where you're going to see it observable. My kingdom resides inside your lives. And the breakthrough you expect, if you know his kingdom governs your life from within you, whatever it is you need is accessible to you immediately because his kingdom is already established in your life. Some in ministry may want to minister, but can't receive ministry. And that's a bad place to be in. Be in ministry and want to minister, but can't receive ministry. Listen to me, we're all growing, we're all developing, we're all learning, and we're never going to stop. Right? If you can't believe and receive, how can you impart to anybody else that they may receive? We've all got to learn. So we receive Jesus as Savior, but we must then be discipled. Uh-oh, what's that mean? It sounds like discipline, kinda. Yeah, that's involved. We must be discipled, and we must make Jesus more than Savior. Jesus must be Lord governing us from within. He must govern us from within. In the movie Iron Man, the character Tony Stark is a wealthy guy, right? He's traveling in a country, runs into trouble. There's an explosion, and metal is lodged in his chest. And it's enough to kill him if it continues to penetrate into his heart. So he creates an object of light and lodges it in his chest to keep the metal from penetrating any further into his heart and killing him. So you can see the light in his chest. It's amazing, huh? It's in him. He would have died without the light in his chest protecting him. So here's an incoming text to everybody who thinks you've kept yourself. You're here because if he had not kept you, you would have had an expiration date that expired. You'd have been done. Your lifestyle was killing you. And this all flows from within. You kill yourself from within. Don't blame other people. You did the damage yourself on the inside. So let me help you. You were killing yourself from within by choices that were not pleasing to God. And if it weren't for the light that God allows us to embrace and receive within, the presence and power and the revealer of truth, the Holy Spirit, we'd have long been penetrated and dead. This is Tony. That's the center of his chest. It keeps him alive. With this, he now has an ability to function at a greater level because of what is now in his chest. So no matter how good you are, the integrity of your life, how nicely you attempt to treat people, how many good deeds you perform, you're going to take some hits in life. Especially when you're leading sheep, there's going to be some pain. I said, when you lead sheep, people think, well, I'm going to just get a cushy job. I'm going to be a pastor and lead sheep. Most stubborn critters on the planet. Obstinate. And sheep bite, by the way. Did you know that? Yeah, they'll chase you and bite you. All kinds of stuff. So what's in his chest gives him an ability beyond his natural ability. It's when something almost kills you, then God steps in. And the only reason you live thereafter is because you now what's now lodged on the inside of you, what's now living in you, the Holy Spirit. Some people are only living for themselves, but no matter what people think, they aren't keeping us alive. It's not people around me that keep me alive. People are not the source of our lives. No one here keeps me alive. He does from within. And there are those who complain, no matter what we attempt to do to be a blessing, no matter how hard people work, there are people who just by nature always default into some negativity and some complaint. I've been doing this too long for a few facial expressions to hurt me. Save your lipstick, okay? We are sustained by Jesus' kingdom within us. I said we are sustained by Jesus' kingdom. You okay over there? Yeah, you just got that. All right. Am I in the right church tonight? Are you with me? Okay. We're sustained by Jesus' kingdom within us. When Tony was about dead, he comes up with a solution to place light inside. So first of all, the lordship of Jesus' kingdom is established to flow from the inside out. Okay. There is no kingdom without a Lord. Who is Lord? I said, who is Lord?
Jesus.
Don't say you're doing kingdom work without being submitted to the Lord. Oh boy. I said, don't say you're doing kingdom work without being submitted to the Lord. The source is within us. Rivers of living water will flow from his heart. The source of strength is from within. That's where the power comes out of us. It's not because of who I am, it's because of who's in me. If the source comes from within, make sure it's not tainted. So when we switched out from well water to city water, we had to do that because the well water was not drinkable any longer. It didn't meet standard. It was tainted. Looked good, you know. You pour it in a glass and it looked okay. So make sure that the source of the well within you is not tainted. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The life you will have is determined by that which is within your heart. And if I keep my heart under the scrutiny and the light and the truth of his word and direction of the Holy Spirit and do according to what is right in his sight, then what is in my heart will manifest out here in my life. But if I allow my heart to get contaminated, if I allow corruption in a divided heart to begin, if I begin soul attachments with those who have corrupt hearts, listen to me, Iron Man began to have some issues with his life. And so he began burning out the breakers all around him. And the application is, if you're addicted, there's an issue on the inside. I said, if you're addicted, there's an issue on the inside. I was looking at an article I received on Saturday about people who have the same issues recurring over and over and falling back time and again, and why it's hard for some people to seem to overcome some of the things that they have faced. And the author said this. He said, there are five causes that block heaven's answers and blessings from reaching us and helping us on earth. Number one, comfort. We want to be comfortable. We don't want to be uncomfortable. And two, arrogance. You know, I can handle this. I got this, right? Okay? Unbelief or disbelief, right? Shame base. We're too ashamed to ask for help. And then excuse making. And if you look at that acrostic, what I just gave you, cause, C-A-U-S-E, okay? And recognizing from the scripture, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. So if we allow some stuff to get in our spirit and get in the well and get in the middle of our heart, instead of keeping our heart with all diligence, now we've got a divided heart. Now we've got a heart that's being corrupted by, once again, dislodging the Holy Spirit from being the one who sits on the throne and exercising the authority of Jesus in our lives. Strongholds are built whenever we begin to allow these corruptions to take place in our hearts and lives. And strongholds are great hiding places for devils where they can go behind the scenes and manipulate us and control us and get us embarrassed into doing things that we wish we'd never done and wonder what drove me to do something like that. So if you're addicted, there's issues going on in your heart that have not yet been settled. Stuff comes from the inside of our lives. We have to work on the interior because everything emanates from the heart, from the inside. Some say, well, I want to be anointed. Well, wonderful. We all want to be anointed. But with that dirty furniture in the house, Begin cooperating with the Lord of the kingdom, because everything that is good that's supposed to happen must begin with those who are born again and making Jesus Lord and central to their heart and decision-making process. His work does a reno inside of us. Everything gets flipped. And a place that was a total disaster all of a sudden goes to the highest bidder. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of average Christianity. Just tired of that. It makes no sense for Jesus to be king in our lives, and we just go along settling for average and for comfort. No disrespect intended, but I'm seriously done doing average in life. Okay? I'm really tired of average. When people have issues, listen, Jesus gave us the remedy and the protocols to resolve them and deal with those issues. If you've got an issue with some person, deal with it over a cup of coffee. If you've got an issue with somebody, do it in your home. Don't bring the issues to church. Don't come into the presence of God with all kinds of issues that you're not going to let go of. Come into the presence of God with issues and surrender them to Him. But don't come into His presence saying, I'm going to hold on to this. I'm going to go out the same way I came in, angry at somebody in the church. When Donna and I discuss issues, we might disagree, of course. But we leave that at home. We don't want to have tainted hearts and bring that to the work of the Lord. When it's flowing from within, it must not be contaminated, right? His church is a body connected, and no one wants to drink poison water. I said, no one wants to drink poison water. We're all connected. So if the well gets messed up somewhere, we're all going to get contaminated. People come to God's presence to drink. That's why we're here. That's what they came to the festival for. That's why Jesus got up and said, if you're thirsty, come to me. I've got water, right? That's why in the last months, God's been working in us at Calvary, especially on Sunday night, to clean us up. What people drink needs to make people better, not bitter. Second, the lordship of Christ can't be cut off by an external force. Externals can't affect Him in my heart, because kingdom reign is established internally. To stop a person, stop a group of believers, it only can happen from the inside out. It can't happen from the outside. No matter how hard the Roman government persecuted the church, it continued to grow faster than they could stop them. Some have allowed a coworker. You've allowed a coworker to upset you. You've allowed a family member to upset you. You got all twisted because somebody said something. Somebody's allowed a pastor to upset you, and you've harbored offense. It's perceived or it's real, and taken on the offense of someone else because I heard so-and-so said something to my friend. Now I'm mad at him too. Well, you don't even have the facts. You've got a one-sided story. And this is when this stuff starts getting inside of you. I don't allow people the inside track. This is where Jesus is Lord. This is where He rules. It's not easy to get on the throne of my heart. It's occupied by the King of Kings. It's the only place where, if penetrated, will cut you off. So stop getting upset with what somebody says on the outside. If you don't accept that as truth inwardly, in other words, if you don't bring that into the throne room of your heart and accept what they said and allow it to get in the middle of your heart, listen, no matter what they say out here, they can say whatever they want to, as long as it doesn't affect me in the core of my being, because the truth emanates from within. Jesus reigns and rules from within. I didn't ask any of you if I could make Jesus my king. Therefore, the kingdom cannot be cut off externally. And those who think it's easy to get derailed, only when you are driven by emotion and not just kingdom are you going to get in trouble. When you're driven by emotion and not just kingdom principles, you're going to have a lot of trouble in balance and perspective, in the way you walk, in the way you journey serving Jesus. And you can be stopped when you allow emotion instead of kingdom to rule on your heart. When you get beyond feelings and allow Jesus to reign and rule, right? So I have an issue with Christians being so weak and fickle when you have the King living inside of you, which gives you power beyond your physical ability. And no matter what's going on externally, it should not affect what's happening internally, because the King rules over even my emotion. I put my emotional life in subjection to the truth of God's word. So do whatever you choose to do, I'll still smile at you. I'm still smiling. Emotions are not governed by activity happening outside of us. Our emotions should be governed by the lordship of the one who reigns on the throne of my heart. I'm not driven by what I feel. I go by what he says, his principles. Are you listening? Number three, the lordship of Christ rules with kingdom power as needed, depending on what I'm challenged with. That determines his response and what flows up out of me. When we are in God's presence, we should be growing. We should be maturing. We should be moving into new abilities and strengths that we never had earlier in our Christian walk. Because just because we've come to Jesus, listen, doesn't mean all at once being born again, we're fully and completely sanctified and absolutely everything is perfect in our lives. There are strongholds that have been there through decades. There are issues that have been in our lives for a long, long time. There are thoughts and imaginations. There are counterfeit or godly and ungodly and twisted thinking, wounded emotions, and post-traumatic stress, and demon oppression jumping all over this stuff. And when all of a sudden we have to understand, if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. And in the Greek, that means the past event with progressive effects. In other words, there's a progression, not completed effects. The impact of the kingdom is progressive. It continues to grow us, stretch us, build us, mature us, so that we're continuing to be formed in the image of Jesus. When we're in the presence of the Lord, we should be growing. Because I'm sitting at the feet of the Master, and I'm being taught and listening to the one to whom I'm subjecting my life to. And if you begin to become disrespectful to the Lord, disrespectful in his presence, I'll intervene. Honor is a kingdom principle. Loyalty is a kingdom principle. The opposite of that, and I'm going to respond. Why? Who do you think you are? It's my job description. I have a job description. I've got several places in Scripture where it describes my job, but this is one of them. Be ready to spread the word whether or not the time is right. Point out errors. Warn people. Encourage them. Be very patient when you teach. That's part of my job description. So if I see stuff that's disloyal, dishonoring, not kingdom principled, here I come. As kingdom members, there's something greater living inside of me and something greater living inside of you. So there's Tony. Okay? When all is calm, this is what you see. Okay? People are cooperating. But when they go off the rails, then you get a different look. Amen? The light is still in its place, no matter. Everything about the exterior is addressed by the interior light. Same man, no enemy attack, cool. Enemy starts attacking, then there is a measured response. As long as the Lordship of Jesus Christ orders our steps, we are in kingdom principles and all is well. That's what it looks like when the rule of Jesus' kingdom power is applied. And so we'll take another look at Tony here. Yeah, okay. For every born-again believer, we can transform. Christ's rule and reign in our lives gives us the ability to transform. We become new creations. If we were producing more spiritual heroes, men and women of God in the church, we'd have more desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit than we currently have in the average church. More would be here connected because they want to plug back into power. You're like one of these new EV cars. You know you've got to stop and recharge. And we should be a supercharging station where you get charged really quickly and fully and completely when you plug in here. Amen? More here would be connected because we're plugged into the power. We need to produce kingdom members in the church, disciples of Jesus. And even though some have gone through pain because the enemy's come to kill and to steal and to destroy, and qualified now we are for our transplant in our lives, that means something that we haven't had before now gets put within us. We need to facilitate change from old nature to new nature. That's why Jesus has called us his church, his body. We are to act like he does. He's the head, and everything he thinks and does should flow right on through us in the expression of that. So while you're undergoing transformation, you're not going to die. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? Now, spiritually you will. Physically you'll be okay. I'm attempting to try to get something in you that'll make you alive and powerful, and you'll have a tool in your hands to tear down enemy strongholds. But when you've been through war with the adversary, you're now qualified for Jesus to take up the throne of your heart and kingdom rule to prevail. Because when you've been in battle, all of a sudden now he recognizes that warrior in you. Christ, listen, Christ is not to be in a corner of our lives. Well, I've got you over here. And let's see, Sunday already again. I guess I'll have to pull you back out and we'll have to dust you off and see what you have to say for me today. And then I'll go home feeling okay and I'll get back to my routine. When he is in the center, when he is central to us every single day of our lives, then miracles begin to happen for us and great things begin to turn in our direction. Many don't see miracles because Jesus is a box to check on Sundays. We serve a supernatural God, and it's about the lordship of his Son, Jesus Christ. It gives us the ability to lay hands on the sick, and they recover. Someone is sick, you offer to pray for them. Jesus said, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. When I get ready to pray for the sick, sometimes I felt heat in my hand. Yeah. Amen. So often Christianity in our culture has been watered down and diluted, and it no longer has the impact. Not here. I said, not here. We invite, we seek, we hunger for the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. If Christ is the center, then the devil cannot defeat us. We don't need to hear what the devil is doing. With Jesus at the center of our lives, he's placed power to win in our hands. We have power to win in our hands. Man, we can lay hands on the sick and watch miracles happen. Number four, the Lordship gives us life after challenging times almost took us out, because the enemy is looking to kill you. Just so you know his agenda, if he can get past all that God's done to protect you, his intention is to kill you. Anyone ever experienced that kind of a threat? Oh, yeah, yes. If you've lived long enough, you have. Tradition isn't going to fix that. Well, I'll go to church every Sunday, and I'll take it for a while, and if I see if I can get past the enemy's attack in my life. Tradition's not going to fix that. No. The power and grace of God delivered us is not religion. It's relationship. I will not be conformed to religion. I have a living relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. And there's a place you find yourself in that only the Lordship of Jesus can deliver you out of that place. Because the enemy's sprung a trap and he's trying to set you up. But after your rescue, Jesus' understanding is that he has deed to the throne of your heart. Because Jesus doesn't come to the rescue and then says, oh, you can push me back up on the shelf now and I'll be a good little boy and stay over there. No, no, no. When Jesus has come to your rescue because you called for his help, he now has title deed to the throne of your heart. He's got the right to say, I belong centrally in your life. The Lordship of Jesus brings us life after difficult times almost killed us. Jesus didn't come to refurbish the life that we've had. The old life is over. Some people think after they've been rescued that now I'm strong in my own strength and I don't need to depend on the Lord. Oh, yes, we do. Probably more so than ever. When Jacob was delivered by God, the Lord touched the hollow of his hip. He said, I want to leave you a reminder of our encounter here this night. Jacob would be forever reminded, I need the Lord to survive. I must have him every single day in order to make it. Some think they're all that in a bag of chips, but I saw some of you limping when you came in. You have a little bit of a hitch because you're being reminded that without him, we're nothing. Live with Christ at the center of your life. We don't even deserve to be here. So I'm not worried about whether I'm promoted or I get some political position. I'm just blessed to be here. I'm just blessed to be a servant of the Lord, with the Lord ruling in my life, having let me live when I should be dead. God lifted me up out of the pit. He set my feet upon a rock. He's therefore the center of my life. Are you listening to this? Amen? Yeah. Therefore, we should not speak of what was done to us. We should speak about what God did for us. Speak often about what Jesus has done for you. Then when you do that, you can't even remember what somebody else did to you, because you're so thankful for what Jesus did for you. But I thank God who always leads us to victory because of Christ. So I'm here to awaken the Lordship of Jesus in our lives and in our hearts here at Calvary Christian Center. There's a better life than what we've settled for. There's better than just routine. The old life is over. A new life has begun. Whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creation. The old way of living has disappeared. A new way of living has come into existence. Say, it's over. Bye-bye. The old life is over. And I'm glad it's over because it was killing us. But the kingdom flows from within us. It's not the praise and worship, although we're grateful because it's so awesome here, and that takes us to the presence of the Lord. But even if the worship wasn't that great, even if we had none, even if we were just pretty simple and plain, it has nothing to do with the fact that his kingdom still flows from within. It's not the externals. Imagine what you can do when you are aware that Jesus sits enthroned in our hearts. And number five, because the master rules, a structure is designed to accommodate that reign. He wants a place to live and reign. And everything has changed. Before, there was the old Tony, right? Now, he has a structure to accommodate the new Tony. Oh boy. Jesus is to be seated on the throne of our hearts. All too many still want to hang on to the old structure because it's comfortable. I'm thankful that you got me out of that mess, Lord. But I kind of like my comfort zone back here. So would you please not make me uncomfortable? Before Tony wore his double-breasted suits, you know, it was nice. But what Tony has now, imagine the unlimited possibilities that are available to him. Something was killed off between the old and the new. We're not the same any longer. Now that we know we're different, we have to accommodate a structure that accommodates who we are now in Christ. The old way won't fit me any longer. I'm not doing what I was doing then. I'm doing something different. We are back from the dead. We cannot wear the old suit any longer. It won't fit. Come on. It won't fit. Thank you, Lord. New structures, new relationships, accommodating the new you in Christ. Whatever God does next has to be accommodated with new wineskin. It's brand new. It doesn't fit the way it used to fit. It won't. This is a new day. Yeah. I said, this is a new day. Yes. Get ready. Calvary Christian Center is about to flex its muscles. It's a new day. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, you haven't seen anything yet. Come on, like you mean it. You haven't seen anything yet. And we're looking at and we're evaluating everything. And I'm asking this question. Does this align with his kingdom? Is it fulfilling Jesus' great commandment to love one another and great commission to take this message outside the four walls? If it doesn't align with those principles, then we need to lose it. We don't have time to fuss over traditions. We have to embrace his kingdom life because, after all, the church is what he bought and paid for. Amen. None of us did. He did. Yes, he did. Tony used to have a jet to travel, but when he came back from the edge, he could fly. He didn't need a jet any longer. Things you once needed, you no longer are going to need. No, you don't need that anymore. What he's equipped you with, you never possessed before. It goes beyond, it exceeds anything beyond your ability to have had in the past. Everything designed by hell for destruction has got a big problem because this church is coming alive in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. So, team, come on up here. Saints, let's stand and worship God. Let's believe the Lord for something fantastic in our lives. Those that need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, this is an opportunity. And I don't care where you are, who you are, what you are, get into the presence of the Holy Spirit tonight and let him fill you, bless you, refresh you, strengthen you. Be all that God's intended you to be with him, Jesus, seated on the throne of your heart. So I'm going to ask you, come on down here. He wants to make new wine. I said he wants to make new wine and pour new wine into your life. I don't think the same. I don't act the same. I'm a new creation. I'm not just a man. I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I now have inherited everything the Father has blessed him with. So I don't know about you, but I need more. If anybody here thirsts, Jesus said, let him come to me and drink. Is anybody thirsty here tonight? Anybody need a drink? Anybody need to share together with the artesian well that's springing up deep inside of you? Joel the prophet said, in the last days, he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, on your sons and your daughters, on your adult men and women, and the blessing of the Lord will change their direction. And I think we all need a drink at Joel's place tonight. I said, I think we all need a drink at Joel's place tonight. Amen? A place where we can go. And we should never allow a bar to have it over the church. Where you're welcomed, even if you're not sober, they still welcome you in there. Wow, there's an old friend, come on over, right? The church should be more accommodating than the local bar. We should welcome each other. We should thank God for each other. We should support each other. We should listen to each other's stories. That's what they do at the bar, by the way. They listen to each other's stories. Come on. You need a drink at Joel's place. The climax of the festival, he shouted to the crowd, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. Rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Living water, the Spirit of the Lord. If you desire the fullness of the Spirit of God to spring up in you, come on, come on, once again. I want him to be enthroned.